Hello, all you comics enthusiasts out there, and welcome to another edition of Bargain Issue Comics,
a podcast.
I'm Corey, and over there is Adam.
I never know how we're going to do that. I never know. We don't talk about it.
We probably should. We'll do that. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Maybe we'll do that. We'll get a director. Maybe, I don't know. That would be neat. Wouldn't that be neat if a podcast had a director?
Oh, no, we could get that. We could get that. We'll get there.
For those of you just joining us, this is the beginning of the second 30 minutes of our first hour of our
Confusing, man.
This is 30 minute number two out of four.
Oh my goodness.
That's how I felt, because I've got these are all single issues for Ghost in the Shell, Human Error Processor 1.5. I've got these all as single issues.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I have a book.
Okay.
This time I've got eight of them. It's all slippery and slidey too. Isn't that fun?
Wait, what? What does that mean? what the hell does that mean?
I've got eight single issues, and they're like semi-gloss covers.
Oh, okay.
And you know, even when I like to do this, I had to take it out of the long box that it's in,
and
I had to find it, and then like take them all out of the plastic so I mm-hmm. could do it. I'm not going to put them in plastic and peg them out of plastic every like 2 seconds to do this podcast. Okay. I've got a boilerplate. I don't want to waste too much time on it, because I feel like we've already wasted too much time with boilerplates in this 4 hours of 2 hours.
I told you to stop saying you're going to mess that up.
I haven't mentioned that other dude's podcast. This could get you. You can get it for $17.99. Human Error Processor. And I think the error was that they didn't publish it before. That was anyway. There's 176 pages by Condisha. You can get it from. I got mine from Dark Horse, as I said, in single mm-hmm. issues. This is all the stuff that was made after Ghost in the Shell, but before they put out two.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like all like, oh, oops, we forgot to publish this. We made an oopsie.
I don't know if they forgot to publish it. I think they just kind of said, meh, I don't think this really works with it.
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because I don't know exactly what I would assume. I'm going to assume that it is chronologically 0.5, that it definitely takes place after all the events of Ghost in the Shell.
It does, yeah. So it's like the Majors disappeared, and then it doesn't 100% lead into two, but it's kind of set certain things up. It's like, well, okay, we don't really know where the Major is. It's 1.5 really kind of more leads into Human Algorithm than anything else. Like, it's, you don't really need to, don't worry about thinking about two connecting all the way with it.
I don't even know. It's so weird. Because then, like, in Human Algorithm, they're like looking for the Major again. Like,
yeah.
What is
yeah.
going on? Like, then the Major shows up and you're like, what is going on with this world?
I think,
because it does still kind of jive. It still kind of works.
It does.
With Ghost in the Shell too.
Honestly, I realized after watching Arise, Ghost in the Shell Arise, I just said, you know what? I'm not going to make all of this make sense in my head. Through lines happen. I'm not going to make this, bolt this together 100%. It's just not going to work, and I'm going to go crazy to try to do that.
Well, and I think that might be one of the beauties of them, is that they are kind of like, each one of them has a parenthesis around them.
Mm-hmm.
Even with these that are so-called, like, the manga, which feels like it's in chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is. It is.
Yeah, it does go in chronological order.
But it doesn't feel like it. It definitely feels like they're their own. As I think you alluded to before, in 1.5, they really put the foot down on, let's make Law and Order, but in the Ghost in the Shell world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I really like that, and you mentioned this when we were talking about Ghost in the Shell, where the police procedural, and 1.5, because it doesn't have the Major the story isn't as focused on some of her more impressive, but also kind of the philosophical questions aren't as prevalent. And you get more of a focus on the, not the lesser characters, but some of the other characters of the Section 9 organization, especially Togusa.
Oh, absolutely. Togusa shines. It's the Togusha show. It feels like it becomes.
It really is. Okay, one thing.
It's on like Togusa. It's like in Solid State Society when mm-hmm. we come back to it.
Oh, I love Togusa in that
Togusa
movie.
He's so good. The boss. He basically becomes the major for all intents and purposes.
So okay, one thing on Togusa. I have really. Kind of. I have also been a little bummed out, but also really like his arc where he kind of goes from rookie to member of the team to the veteran leader. But also, I just feel bad that they repeatedly bring up that he's a family man, and Section 9 kind of destroys his family's life.
Well, absolutely. In Solid State, his daughter becomes like embroiled in all of this. Mm-hmm. And I think in 2043...
They're divorced. They're divorced.
Yeah, they're not together anymore. Which makes sense. If somebody is that hard of a government G-man, mm-hmm. I can't imagine that his wife and daughter play much of it. And he's constantly almost getting killed. Like,
yep.
I think it happens. By the end of this, it's the third time he gets almost nearly killed.
Yeah.
It goes to great lengths to say... I'm flesh and blood. Yeah, that just means you're a squishy meat sack for bullets. You dummy.
So you need cybernetics, buddy.
We want to diversify. If everybody is a cyborg, it's not so good. Like, fuck that. He's out there doing wet works. No.
No,
everyone he goes up against is in, like, power armor. And he's like, I'm running around at the body armor. What? No.
No. I love that they keep that character trait human algorithm too, but I do appreciate that they always make fun of Togusa for being the least cyberized person because I think he just has a cybernetic brain.
He just has a cyber brain, yeah.
Which is
basically that thing that Elon Musk is making. Like we are to the point where we are at the very edge of this is supposedly takes place in 2029.
Mm-hmm. The far future, 2029.
We are in 2024. We have neural links. We've got cyber brain capability.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
But just saying. I appreciate that they all, despite making fun of Togusa, they do point out that yeah, we brought you on board because you're a good cop and you do good at investigating. You're kind of shit at the other mm-hmm. stuff, but you're very good at that. That's why we wanted you.
And he becomes good at running the show, being yep. like a
very true.
Being the detective. He's the anti-terrorism detective extraordinaire. He's our Sherlock Holmes of a cyberpunk, if you will.
Huh, that's an interesting take on it.
It's a definitely a shit take. Anyway, talking about art, I wanted to talk about the art real quick because we kind of got stymied in the last episode by the old clock. Oh, you old clock, you. The color sections in this series are bar none the best color sections in my opinion.
You get an excellent feel for what this city is like, what it looks like.
It makes me wonder what the whole series could be look like with color. Like it just
that would be great. It's
so good with the color. It really not and I don't mind the black and white. This is one of those times, you know, I am a lover of color in my comics, but the black and white's still really good. His use of the pen to make tiny lines and very, very fat lines. I love it. It's depth and motion and
Adam, quick question though. In your Dark Horse editions, do you have the like color pages for the very start of 1.5? Like where Fat Cat is all in color and everything, like the opening page?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if they had done something differently on theirs.
Mine cuts out with the chief looking down at some papers and then it goes to a Skyscraper.
Okay, yes. All right, so got the same thing, got the same thing.
This one, my dark horse does correct this. The single issues that I have, it is right to left. The reading.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't say at the back, turn around, you're reading the wrong way. No, I've got ads at the back here. That's super fun. Like Gen Con, somebody's recommending. I've got a horsepower section. When a plan comes together, the best thing about being an editor, it's like the editor section
for Okay.
In October of 2006, October. Oh my God. I feel
like blast from the past.
the next page is Conan the Savage Barbarian. That looks pretty fucking cool though. So I'm gonna stop reading that. So back to this. I like the art here so much. Masamune Shiro or Shiro Masamune. I'm not really sure which one is the surname in a made up name. It's hard for me to tell. In 1.5, it says Shiro Masamune. On my regular Ghost of the Shell, it says Masamune Shiro. So I don't know which one. And then there's that whole thing. Is it like because they Japanese flip the surname to the front? I would be Rice Adam on that one.
Yes, you would be. Like in Japan, you would be Rice Adam.
Which just sounds really cool. I mean, I feel like I would be. It's like a guy that's me that's just made of rice. Anyway. we are off topic. I love, like, his... And when I say it's effortless, it's like he doesn't care if he fucks up. And I say that with all the love in the world. Hands are hard to draw. I don't know if you've
I can't draw them well.
Hands are hard to draw. And it doesn't seem like he really fucking cares about it. He's like, let's let it go. That's what the hands are going to look like. And I just love that. It feels sloppy, but so specific.
You know what? That is an excellent way to put it. That is a great way to describe his art.
It's like, I'm okay. Like I did it well enough the first time. And it's just like, fuck yeah, that is just, I love that attitude. You know, James Stokoe is, I often think of Stokoe and Shiro. The two of them have a lot of similarities in their style, in my opinion. Very different. Shiro is definitely manga, and then James Stokoe is, I mean, whatever the hell Stokoe
is. But they kind of, you can see the dovetail, especially in the level of detail.
They just do it right the first time. It's not perfect, but they do it right. And it's hard to articulate that as a person who has drawn and likes to pretend that I'm good at drawing. it's one of those things like, nope, gotta, I'm going to draw another line there to make it better. Now I'm going to draw another line there. I'm going to erase it and do another. It's like, there's no erasing. And it's just like, he drew a hand perfectly the first time. It's like, it's cartoony and it's not like, photorealistic, but it's perfect in this panel. And it's just that confidence as an artist to be able to do that, just my soul goes, wow.
Like
the level of talent and the level of no fucks given is just like, it's so perfectly balanced. Like I could never do that. I could never not care that much.
I would
scribble out half the hands he draws and try and draw it better and never draw it better.
You know what has been the most impressive, and I think this really surprised me once it got to 1.5, his covers, man. His covers are so good for each of the chapters. When I think cyberpunk, these are the exact images I would think of. So it's like, yes, of course this would be a scantily clad lady with a robotic bee that's a drone. Of course that would be in this. Of course there would be.
So I'm so glad that you bring that up. Because my covers, I want to know about your covers. Because I know you have different ones than mine.
Oh, okay.
My covers, I do not know what covers you have. But I will say... The cover for mine on 7 of 8 over here, I've got It's man machine interface countermeasures or counter preferences or some shit like that.
Okay.
I swear to God, it is an image from two. It's like it has no business being on the cover of a 1.5. And there's a couple of them. They're the very first one where she's got like blue hair. Mm-hmm. And she's got a grenade pin hanging out of her mouth.
Interesting.
That feels much more like two than the art and the interior art. So like with Ghost in the Shell, the cover art for those,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've got a cover gallery at the back of yours, feels, I don't know, it feels more like the interiors. Whereas the interiors of the covers on these do not feel like it jives. It feels like it jives better with two than 1.5. I don't need to drive that home anymore. I'm gonna
stop. No, I got you. So for me, it's kind of interesting. They're not necessary. So there's okay, like for the Drive Slave Part One, there's a picture of the Major that sort of looks like the Major but doesn't. But she's got two giant wasp drones chilling out on her shoulder.
Yes, on her shoulder. That one feels like the interiors of 1.5. That one does feel like
it. Mm-hmm.
I think that the one where it looks like she's coming out of like a cross, maybe a coffin, mm-hmm. but it's like digital and she's got white. She's got like a collar necklace. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have
yeah,
that
yeah,
one?
I see it. That does okay. Yeah, that does
that
look
feels
like
1.5. The one where she's like an angel with four wings, she almost looks like one of those biblical crazy angels.
Yeah, the real angels.
Yeah, the real angels with the blue hair, and she's got like the green background.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's another one. But I'm talking about one where she's like standing in front of like a submarine. I swear to God, the submarine is like a plot point. And two, like it never comes up in 1.5.
Huh, that is interesting. I don't think I see that one, but yeah, that's definitely part of two.
Where she's got like the thigh high, she's like there's a red chair that she's got her hand on.
Mm-hmm.
It is the cover for Lost Past. My cover, anyway. I don't know if it's your covers.
Huh. No, I don't think that's it for mine. I'm trying to like. Actually, look at the page.
Then there's another one. There's another one where she's sitting cross-legged, and this one's straight up. It looks like some of them look like Shira Masamuno's hentai. Seriously, this is where he starts.
It is. I remember you when I was talking
like
about
he
that.
Is slipping into his hentai.
And I remember you talking about that early on. And it's definitely, you can kind of start to see it with 1.5. And then once it hits two, you definitely see where he's going.
You got to know the cover I'm talking about here. It's like she's sitting in like a blue office chair type thing. And she's got like a shoulder pads and like. But like no pants on and yep. then like sexy frilly boots.
Yep.
I think that's one of her personas from two. Also straight up hentai. Just while we're on the topic of it. That is pornographic. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like you said, it's like, man, this is what I'm going to do. And he is very true to his art style.
Oh God, he's good at it.
I respect it.
It's good at it. It is sexy. It is sexy.
But okay, so
kind of creepy.
With 1.5 here, because the story isn't really focusing on the Major, I also appreciate that it gives Bato more time to shine. And he's like the best kind of meathead.
Oh, he really is. And he's where the shows and the anime still feel like they, and even the live action one, I know we mm-hmm. don't, that's taboo, even the live action one, Bato still gets to have the humor and kind of has like the tongue-in-cheek moments.
Yeah, he really
they kind of give it to Togusa a little bit as well. Definitely the Fuchikoma get it.
Yes, like, yes.
The Tachikomas get all the humor. Like, it goes like straight to them. And I love it. I'm here for it.
I was a little bummed. I love Saito just because of the weird sniping abilities he had. I wish he had more in 1.5.
Well, so 1.5, you don't really get any of it in, like, I mean, I guess you get a little bit of it in one.
Yeah.
But you definitely, the whole Lost Past, there's like the whole thing. It's the sniper battle. I can't remember which anime that's in, but there's like they totally ripped that off with Saito.
Oh, dude, that episode is so good. The standalone talk about complex. Where
the anime can make up completely great stuff. The one that you're talking about in Mexico when they're when they're facing off against the spike battle. Oh my god, one of the best scenes.
Okay, dude, I think we may need to do an episode of Standalone Complex, but just this one point, I love the fact that they leave that episode with, yeah, I could have been lying about all of that.
It's right, because it's a bluff. They're playing a card game. That's absolutely right.
Oh my god, I love that episode so much.
I could be lying. Like, oh my god, and all the touch comes like, oh my god. Oh god, I love this. It's one of the seriously one of the best of all time. Did I do the boilerplate? Did we skip boilerplate?
No. You were talking about the different single issues that you had, Dark Horse versus the Kodansha one I was getting.
176 pages over here.
Yeah, no, you went through it. You went
7.5, 10. I don't even know. Anyway, cycling back. Four chapters this time in Ghost in the Shell 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Fat Cat, Drive Slave, Minds of the Mind, and Lost Past. Let's talk a little bit about each one of these real quick.
All right.
Fat Cats is what starts us off.
I
dead people smell bad.
It is just terrifying that they're able to control a dead body.
Isn't that creepy?
God, that's
I'm pretty sure that
creepy.
Becomes an anime plot. They use that in one of the animes, and another time where it's like, God, I love it so many times. Yeah, that's so creepy that his own daughter didn't know.
Yeah, man, that's the terrifying future.
There's a bomb scene that gets directly lifted. I wish in the anime they give Boma Bourma a lot more.
They do. Oh, this is it's not in that chapter. We can get to it in a minute, but there's a scene with a major I always appreciate that they do in the anime.
We'll get to that one next one in Drive. Yeah. I think I know the one you're talking about.
Sorry, I jumped ahead.
No. This is a good place as any. The action scenes in this and that Shiro does, so good.
God, they're so good.
The speed lines, the movement. I never feel like I get lost from one panel to panel. Sometimes that can happen to me, especially with manga. I'm like, wait a minute, where am I supposed to go? I always figure it out, but some are easier for me to figure out from panel to panel what's going on in the actual. Things are just moving too much. There's too many speed lines sometimes, and you're just I'm dizzy.
You know,
Bleach was really bad about that. I would have to figure out when I was reading Bleach. I was like, what the fuck? Where are we in this fight? I don't remember anymore.
You know, what's interesting about the action scenes, especially in 1.5, is for as kind of, man, we're just going to do it this one and done style he goes with, his action sequences are very precise. Just like you said, you don't get lost in them. And it's the movement is very crisp. You can see where things are going. You can see what is happening, just like you said. And it's just, it's very interesting how those kind of different styles mesh as he wrote this or drew it.
Oh, absolutely. And it definitely feels... It feels like we're in the middle of his progression on his art style.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Well, in the middle of, because we've also got three other Masamune Shiros. We've got Dominion Tank Police. We've got Appleseed. And we've got, I got four. We got Orion and we've got Black Magic.
Oh, I think I knew about those other two.
Those are the other four that are in his library. I went crazy. I always go down these stupid rabbit holes. And I'm like, I want to get it all. So
No. This is good to know.
This is the end of his safe for work stuff.
Oh, okay.
Ghost in the Shell 2 feels like it's pushing it sometimes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's like, it is not subtle.
This just got... stopped being 16 plus and started being like, you're going to be buying this in a brown bag kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very in your face about anything, but you know what, that we'll be getting to two soon enough. You will back to 1.5.
So Fat Cats ends with something that, and the reason I bring that again back up, his hentai stage, mm-hmm. is his storytelling. I feel like that's what the world, now that he's doing straight porn, the world has missed his brilliant storytelling. It goes Law and Order. We're introduced to a judge and mm-hmm. how the judicial system works. His world building in Ghost in the Shell is so good. And I will say that is something I feel that we've lost. Bringing up Appleseed and Dominion Tank Police, another mm-hmm. two great examples of storytelling. The other two, not as much, but those other ones, I definitely recommend those more than Black Magic and Orion.
Okay.
Orion's a out there weird fantasy kind of thing. It's definitely weird. it's hard. It is hard to read. Like, talk mm-hmm. about trying to cut through some of this. I recommend it because I recommend Masumi Nishir. I do not recommend it because his storytelling is great there. He has honed his skills here in 1.5, which is what we're talking about.
I do love seeing progression like that. That is always a neat thing.
Did you have anything else you wanted to mention on Fat Cats, or we can go ahead and move to Drive Slave?
No, we can go on to Drive Slave.
Drive Slave has a moment that I think made it into the original movie. So talk about timelines. All right. This place,
good luck.
1.5, physical timelines in our world. Mm-hmm. 1.5 takes place. He's drawing this between 91 and 95, I think.
Right.
What I read. 95 is when the first Ghost in the Shell movie comes out.
Oh, in I didn't realize movie, it was that. Oh, wow. Okay.
In that movie, because in Ghost in the Shell 1, we didn't touch on this. There is a scene where the think tank is with the guy inside the tank.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing happens there, but we don't get that iconic. That's where she fights the tank and it beats her up. And there's the moment in the movie where the tank grabs her skull.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's in the first movie. Also in the first movie, she jumps on top of the tank.
I love this
that
scene.
Does not happen in Ghost in the Shell 1.
Mm-hmm.
That happens here in Drive Slave.
Yep.
Where she goes to rip the top of the tank off to try and get in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way she can do it is by ripping her own arms off.
God, I just love that scene because you don't need her. She literally is just grunting. And all you see are her arms coming apart at the elbows as she's pulling them. Just how much force that requires.
Oh my gosh. And just from herself, like she, in the first one, there's a brief moment where it talks about the Megatech machines.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this whole thing where it explains why Bato, like your arm has to be, if you have a prosthetic arm, it has to be anchored to like your whole torso.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be anchored at that point. It does a great job of explaining it. And then here later on, we get this moment like, that's what it looks like when it's not done right.
Yep. Just the little piece about Bato explaining what a prosthetic, how it has to be attached to you. I love that world building. You don't need that for the story. But that is a fascinating thing to just say, this is how the science works.
He loves the science. He loves that it can be explained. Mm-hmm. He loves like talking about like, imagine like a FN, but imagine a PFN 90 or whatever it says. It's like, oh my God, he loves guns and all this stuff. Like he loves.
Like, this does look like a cool machine gun though.
So what she's ripping off there isn't the think tank. It's actually an underwater, power suit,
mm-hmm.
which is in another anime where that actually happens. So they've got these two moments that they've split off to two different fights. One of them went and got merged with another fight. And this mm-hmm. one went off to another one where an underwater thing is fighting in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It is so crazy. And then you get brilliant things that he's thinking of way before anybody else, way back in the early 90s, he's thinking up bug bots.
Right?
robots are designed to go in a stable and grab other bugs. That's a plot of Black Mirror.
Ooh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, there's a whole thing in Black Mirror where like a program causes these bug bots to attack people.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that attack are voted on by people online. If you have not seen Black Mirror, I do recommend Black Mirror because it is very much sci-fi. And I would even say it's cyberpunk. It really does feel Black Mirror is cyberpunk. I'm going to say it. I'm going on record.
I have seen I remember watching the first season. I don't think I've seen a lot of the later seasons, though. So I have to go back and check it out again.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I mean, anyway, it's up there with Love, Death, and Robots. Those two shows.
Love, Death, and Robots is pretty good.
Love both those shows. A chef's kiss. Minds of the Mind. What a cool name. Oh my gosh, what a cool name. They call it a mine. It's the Bato Togusha show.
Yep. Hey. I do love this establishes just how much shit Bato gives Togusa on a normal basis.
But hold up. Let's talk about this for a moment. How hilarious is it that Bato is getting catfished? Oh my god, that's hilarious. Oh my god, that is so funny to me.
She's
such a good girl. She's such a nice, wholesome. Why won't you ever let me see your face? it's so funny.
Like, these are the reasons why he's one of my favorite meathead characters. It's like, oh, you're so smart and so dumb in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. I love him. He's always like doing like exercise and got to drink some beer. Like,
dude,
you're a robot. Why
he doesn't need to do it?
You don't need to do it. Like, the beer doesn't. You can't process the beer. Oh, you're so dumb. I love it. So they're out and they're like, this is really one of the ones where it feels like a good whodunit murder mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that about it. This is where this one and the next one I feel is where they really put the foot down. The Dry Slave kind of takes a little break because you get the Major back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ah, the old team's back here. Let's get back into the action adventure show. But no, back to Minds of the Mind. It feels like we're in Law and Order. Dun dun.
Yep. And
do you have any tattoos?
Yes, I do.
I got tattoos too. That's a big plot point in this one. Tattoos. I don't know. I just bring that up. I like tattoos.
You know what?
It's not what we talk about in this podcast, but
okay. This always tricked me out about the ending to this story was the how they find the body that's just completely covered in fungus, dead, and the computer program is still running. Also used in Standalone Complex, but
moments again, it's all echoed and chopped up. Oh, well, you know what? We didn't really touch enough on Ozma. Also, I really want to say that
I freaking love Ozma.
Ozma's hilarious. Talking about funny characters, and they give Ozma the funny in the show, too.
He got recruited because of his nose.
Absolutely. He's the bloodhound. And that's how he's like, your dad's dead. He stinks. We also get Proto. I like the Protos in Minds of the Mind. We get another, like, we have like a hee-haw moment where a girl pops up and you never see her again. Cole?
Glasses?
I
didn't know what that was either.
I don't feel like she's like an admin girl that's like, okay, who the fuck are you?
For a minute there, I thought it was just the Major taking control of another person's body just to say, it was like, all right, this is what's happening with this case, but that
you know
wasn't
what? Let's
it.
Say that's maybe. I don't really know what the hell was up with Cole. Anyway, we do have a moment where we get a touch coma. I feel like that. Always love me some touch coma.
Do love those murder tanks.
So there is a character that is in, I think, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's the red lab coat.
The engineer
with the Geordi LaForge. Does he have a name? Does he have a name? I can't figure out his name. I think that's one of those
Fight Club
moments where it's like layer cake where you got to guess his name.
Yeah, I'm not sure of his name.
Lost Past is where it ends on a 1.5. Mm-hmm. Who can you trust, man? Who are the good guys?
I love that this story plays on the conspiracies like that. It's because it's really, you don't know who to trust. Also, somebody can just hack your brain anyway.
Exactly. And it's up there. It almost folds back into the whole puppeteer and even the show goes into it like with a laughing man, the individual 11. It's such a theme that they play on so much that I love. And that idea of the ghost in the shell, the ghost in the machine. Where am I and where am I programming? Things like that. I love sci-fi that has the ability to talk about not just robots and fighting and all that neat stuff, but it's also able to talk about metaphysical stuff that has everything to do with where soul meets body and that connection of who we are. When does an AI stop being an AI and start being worthy of considering as its own self? In the show, they talk about like the laughing man. I mean, not laughing man, excuse me, the puppeteer in the movie, but and they do it so much better, I think, with the Tachkomas and the Tachkomas whole arc that they choose to be alive and with that choice save everybody. It's amazing. It's such
it truly is. So I think we're gonna have to stop it here, but I want to get more into like the especially with two, the metaphysical aspects and all of that. I cannot wait for it. But Adam, before we finish up, do you have any words of wisdom for our wonderful listeners to take home with them?
Go out and read Ghost in the Shell. I'm going to drive it home. I'm driving it home. Seriously, people. I don't even care. You don't even have to read the comics. Go out and watch the anime. If you have Netflix, watch it on there. If you've got...
Go watch Standalone Complex.
I don't even know where you could watch Standalone Complex at this anymore.
Find a DVD. Buy it.
I was going to say, maybe I could let you borrow my DVD.
Adam, I can see it now. You start up your own Netflix. It'll be brilliant.
Next level logic over here.
Well, all right, good people. Thank you very much for listening once again, and stay tuned for more Ghosts in the Shell in the near future.
40 more years of Ghosts in the Shell.
Another, 40 more years.
40 more years of Ghosts in the Shell episodes, everybody. It'll be great. You'll never stop listening. You'll know we'll talk more about Ghosts in the Shell than there is
my goodness. There is
manga and anime.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Bye. We'll be right back.